across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wiscommon Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, the smoky, hazy shores of Lake Wissota once again. But still, it's a beautiful day up north. It's Tuesday, June 27th, 54 degrees here on the lake on our home base, 93.5 The Tap. It's 55 down in Waukesha for folks listening on the Shaw, 58 in La Crosse. Hayward coming in at 48 degrees. Here's what's on tap this morning. It appears the Wolves are out for Megan Wolf. Megan Wolf has run the Wisconsin Elections Commission office with top-notch professionalism, maintaining and defending our state's fair and accurate election system. So it's no wonder that Republicans are trying to remove her as administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We'll talk about that. Christina Laurie has The Uplift, our weekly review of stories from our daily newsletter. In our second hour, the people who make Dairy Month happen. We all know that June Dairy Month can't happen without the cows, but there's also a particular group of people associated with modern dairy farming in Wisconsin, and their efforts often go unheralded because they have to do all of their work in the legal shadows thanks to certain politicians. So we will recognize the importance of the immigrants who work with Wisconsin dairy farmers to keep those dairy farms in business. Along the way, if you'd like to reach us with a question or a comment, let's see, we've got a phone number here for the studio line. I'm just bringing it up for people watching on Facebook. 844-967-2789. And the email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And as I mentioned, we are on a few different Facebook pages. And if you comment on one of those Facebook pages underneath the live video of our radio show, we will see it and may put that up on screen as well. As always, the reminder that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, though we're so happy to be here on their stations across Wisconsin every weekday morning from 6 to 8. But you can find the work that we do at upnorthnewswi.com. From people like Sherita Booker and Christina Laurie. And Christina, as I said, will be joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Despite the smoke and the haze, it's still a perfect temperature morning. It was just the best sleeping weather down here, mostly Aaron Zommers down in Madison, because we've been able to keep the mosquitoes out. We had such a bumper crop of mosquitoes after the weekend rain. I mean, honestly, looking out at the backyard at some point on, I forget if it was Saturday or Sunday, it looked like a miniature version of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, but with little tiny mosquitoes instead. There were so many of them.
Yeah, I'm glad we live in America where malaria is not a thing.
Thank goodness. And I'm sure it made a lot of the birds happy. I mean, they're singing very nicely this morning. The cardinals are chirping away. The woodpeckers are doing their thing already here on the lake. But yeah, it's very hazy. I remember hearing yesterday, wasn't it hazy? It was much hazier by you yesterday, I believe, than it was up here. But for some reason, the smoke has definitely returned to the Northwoods too.
Yeah, it was hazy. I just wasn't sure if it was the smoke or if it was just super humid and gross, which it also was. So
it also was. And apparently the Milwaukee area was even worse. There were indications that it had some of the worst air quality around the world yesterday in terms of measuring it. And as you look at the map of smoke from the Canadian wildfires, the thing that I thought was so impressive is that it's being swept down here on the front end of a high pressure system, you know, so think of it as a buzzsaw and it's rotating clockwise. And so, yeah, it makes sense that it's being pulled down on the front end of this high pressure system. But I'm looking at the maps and it's saying that as the system moves over Wisconsin and out, as we're on the back end, that smoke that will move to the south of us is going to be kicked back up toward us from the south, which really tells you something. I thought maybe the smoke would dissipate by then, but that there's so much of it that we're going to get like relief tomorrow. And then a day or two later, we're going to get the smoke coming up from the south again. It's Canada's working so hard to burn it all to the ground. I don't know. It's like the climate might be changing or something. Maybe.
I don't know. That's a little far-fetched.
I know. Let's not get carried away here. We also have coming up in a bit here, the story about the Brewers, who are in New York now to take on the Mets. And we actually have our first crop report of the season. Well, ag report, I should say. We haven't harvested the crops yet, but they are trying to get out of the ground. They are trying to cope with what has been a decided lack of precipitation so far this spring. I mean, this weekend was great, but it doesn't make up the entire deficit. So we'll continue to watch that and see how farmers are doing. Hans Breitenmoser is going to be joining us at 7:30, and we will talk more about that. And in fact, while I've got the time right now, let me go ahead and tell you about that before the break, that the latest from the USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service says that dry conditions continue to negatively impact crop growth. The second cutting of alfalfa is about 25% complete, 4 days ahead of last year. All hay condition was reported 40% good to excellent statewide. Here's that thing on the moisture of the soil. Topsoil 37% very short, 36% short, 27% adequate, and 0% surplus moisture out there. The corn condition is 42% good to excellent. That's down a bit from last week. And the soybean condition, 45% good to excellent. Again, down a little bit from last week. And we will get the full weatherology forecast coming up just about 1 hour from now. But we'll take this break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Brewers and the Mets. We'll talk about Megan Wolf being in the crosshairs of Republicans. And get used to hearing about Bidenomics. That's coming up. You're up north.
Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood.
And Pat will be right with us.
Little big girl should.
Who doesn't need a little Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs this morning? Sorry, I let that run a little longer than I should have. But the wolves are out for Megan Wolf, and we'll talk more about that story in just a bit. Tomorrow, Doug Null will join us to talk about an op-ed in the Cap Times about how Robin Voss has it backwards on the issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the University of Wisconsin system. He'll tell us about that in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. In sports, Joey Weimer hit a go-ahead two-run home run to straightaway center field in the sixth inning last night that lifted your first-place Milwaukee Brewers to a 2-1 road victory over the Mets. That's right, your first-place Milwaukee Brewers. The Reds lost again last night, putting the Brewers back on top of the NL Central. Now, the pitching really got it done last night. Starter Colin Ray is now 4-4. He retired his first eight batters for the Brewers and allowed only one run in 6 1/3 innings. Hobie Milner then got four outs. Elvis Peguero won. Devin Williams got three outs to complete the three-hitter. Devin Williams got his 14th save in 15 chances as the Brewer pitchers retired the final 11 Mets in order on just 34 pitches. And that 6 1/3 innings for Ray was his longest stint of the season. He spent most of the last 2 years pitching in Japan, trying to get back into the bigs. The Brewers offense needed all that pitching help because they didn't exactly light the place on fire. They stranded eight runners against Justin Verlander, who gave up five hits and struck out five while throwing 100 pitches. Then they'll do it again tonight and then Thursday as well. Wednesday and Thursday as well, all four games this week at 6 o'clock Central Time in the evening. You can hear those games in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. And news from the center in Richland Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM. If you don't have it yet, you can get the Civic Media app. Go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, or wherever you get your apps and learn more about it. It's got all kinds of nice new improvements. You pick your hometown station or favorite station from there, and that'll come up every time you open up the app. And from the app, you can either call in to whatever show is on at the time, or you can send a text. For example, we came in and found a text this morning from a caller in Racine letting us know that Wisconsin was getting more than $1 billion from the Biden administration for broadband expansion to which we know and which we're going to be telling you all about a little bit later on here in the program. But again, we appreciate anything related to, you know, news tips and comments and calls that you want to make. And of course, our studio line, 844-967-2789. As I mentioned, the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, well, the, I guess I should say the administrator of the Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, is once again reminding folks of what she has done for the Elections Commission, the professionalism with which she has handled the job, and just as importantly or more so, continues to knock down the disinformation that's being spread about Wisconsin elections. And I choose that word carefully. I do say disinformation, not misinformation, because it's intentional at this point. These are intentional lies that people are telling to try to undermine confidence in elections for whatever reason, either to drive down voter turnout in the future by driving down voter confidence, or simply to smear other people when you don't have ideas of your own that can help you win elections. So Megan Wolf put all this in a letter to state legislators over the weekend, saying that she wanted to put all of this out because state lawmakers could have a vote this week that might determine her future as the state's top elections official. Molly Beck wrote all about this in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the other day. And so despite Wolf running the Elections Commission with such professionalism, there is going to be a meeting, a vote perhaps this week about Wolf losing her job, as Republicans who control the state Senate have been signaling that they do not support confirming her to another term when her current term runs out at the end of this month. Republican lawmakers have been targeting Wolf because of her actions with the bipartisan panel of six commissioners. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is made up of three Democrats and three Republicans. She and they have been taking actions during the coronavirus pandemic to help people vote while avoiding crowds and contact with others. Wolf was not a voting member in those decisions. These are, as she emphasized, the decisions made were made by the bipartisan Elections Commission, and then she carries them out. But of course, some Republicans are trying to paint her as if somehow she is, you know, the boss of all of this, leading the commissioners on, and it's her ideas that are, you know, responsible for things that they don't like about elections. But that's not true. And that's not true. And Megan Wolf is making that note. Now, members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission are also going to be meeting today to discuss the matter, to find out, you know, what the Senate is going to do in terms of whether to vote to reappoint Megan Wolf. And if so, you know, what if she is voted down? And what will the election commissioners do? After all, their job is now complicated by a recent state Supreme Court decision involving Fred Prehn. Remember that guy? He sat on the state Natural Resources Board for well over a year past the expiration of his term, a Scott Walker appointee. Prehn decided he wasn't going to step down until the Senate confirmed Tony Evers' appointment. And the Senate Republicans said, well, we don't have to confirm Tony Evers' appointment. In fact, there's still plenty of Tony Evers appointees they haven't confirmed yet because they won't do their job. And conservative justices on the state Supreme Court said, yeah, if the Senate doesn't confirm, then the person whose term expired can hang on to that post. Well, so what if the Wisconsin Elections Commission deadlocks 3-3 on any vote for some new appointee? Could Megan Wolf just say, well, you know what, I'm going to stay in this job, even if the state Senate, you know, doesn't appoint somebody, and even if they wanted to not reappoint me, I might just stay here. So the Republican politicians on the Wisconsin Supreme Court have really created a mess here by refusing to respect what terms of office are for state appointees. And this whole thing could lead to the Wisconsin Elections Commission perhaps not having, either having an interim leader or a dispute about who is the administrator of the commission at a time when the office has to start thinking about the 2024 elections. And certainly any drama here is going to, again, shake public confidence in Wisconsin elections unnecessarily, because Wisconsin elections are secure, they're safe, they're accurate, and by and large, that is because Megan Wolf and the bipartisan members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission have set it up that way, working alongside some 1,800 elections officials in cities, towns, villages, counties all across Wisconsin. We have perhaps the most decentralized election system in the country, which takes great professionalism on the part of all of these people to make it work. But it also means that no single entity controls the elections. And therefore, when people say, well, there's something, there's irregularities about Wisconsin elections. Really? Good luck. Good luck trying to get 1,800 people to take part in a conspiracy. It just doesn't work that way. And it's beyond insulting for people to continue to spread these lies simply because, you know, Donald Trump told them to, because he was trying to hold on to victory. He didn't. He lost to Joe Biden. And Joe Biden is making, you know, some waves now by a couple of victories of late. First, let's take a look at, remember that potential for a railroad strike and how President Biden talked all sides into, you know, basically just going back to work, continuing to negotiate. And a lot of people on the side of labor were not very happy about that, because one of the issues that hadn't been resolved was paid sick days. The railroads have been, to put it kindly, awful to their employees on the subject of paid sick days. And so a lot of people are upset that, you know, they felt that maybe this needed a strike to pressure the railroads into granting paid sick days. Well, it turns out the president was right, that after months of negotiations since the last time it was in the news, the railroad members at four of the largest U.S. freight carriers have announced that they are now getting paid sick days. It's a very big deal and a very big win. And again, talks about the power of negotiations and talking at the table, you know, rather than always having to have confrontation, which is something some labor folks wanted. But frankly, it's also something some of the railroads wanted, looking for any opportunity to look for replacement workers or things like that. And instead, you know, the president said, talk this out. They did. And the workers are going to be getting their paid sick days. In fact, it's just the latest example of how you're going to hear the word Bidenomics a lot more over the next year and a half or so, because you had yesterday's announcement that we'll talk more about later, about the $1 billion expansion of broadband investment in Wisconsin, part of some $42 billion that's going to be invested all around the country into high-speed internet. That's going to benefit so many people, bring so many jobs to Wisconsin and elsewhere to lay all that fiber optic cable, get it connected, what have you. And it's all part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. The investments from the bipartisan infrastructure law, the investments from the Inflation Reduction Act, the investments from the American Rescue Plan, those three things were all part of what Biden referred to as Build Back Better when he was running for office originally in 2020. And in 2021 and early 2022, that legislative agenda passed. It certainly had its hiccups along the way. Thank you, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. But what ultimately passed, while short of what the president wanted, because nobody gets everything they want in American politics, but what ultimately passed continues to reap dividends and will for years, especially in the area of infrastructure. And so no legislation of any significance is going to pass right now while there's split control of Congress. So when the president runs for re-election, he's going to be running on the things that are getting done from what's already been passed. And they're going to refer to it as Bidenomics, which is simply their term of grow through the middle class, that trickle-down economics and tax cuts for the very rich, like Republicans in the legislature want to do. Doesn't work. It's never worked. What works is investing in people, investing in the middle class, investing in infrastructure. Let's take a break, and we'll hear from Christina Lurie, my partner at Up North News. She writes our daily newsletter, and we'll have the Uplift, her segment, her weekly segment, with us next here up north. Let's move now this morning into the Uplift, our review of stories with Up North News newsletter editor, community editor, wearer of many hats, Christina Lurie. Christina, good morning.
I have none of them on today. If people could only see me. No hat on.
Nothing at all.
Thanks for having me back.
We're starting fresh this morning. Actually, we're going to start with some leftovers. So we're going to talk about food. So leftovers was a little play there. And we're going to talk about Chef Dave Heide, somebody who we have talked about previously, in fact, even last week, for some of the good deeds that he's doing, some for the public, some for his family. And again, these stories get a lot of attention of all kinds. So tell us more about Chef Dave.
Yes. So last week, I believe that we discussed his new restaurant, Ollie's. Mm-hmm. He formerly owned a New Orleans style restaurant here in Madison called Liliana's. It was named after his daughter. Well, his daughter has since transitioned and is now Ollie. And so he renamed his restaurant and rebranded the whole thing after them. So it's now called Ollie's. It serves a different style food. It's like pizza, burgers, everything there is phenomenal if you're ever in the area. But I posted this, like you do, on social media. I actually posted it on my own professional work page, and it absolutely exploded. And at first, I was really happy because the majority of comments were overwhelmingly supportive, which a lot of times you don't see. I mean, I know myself, I'm more likely to just click the like button if something made me smile than post a comment and say, wow, this is such a great story. You know, people usually tend to only post comments when they have something angry to say or judgmental. So I was overwhelmed at first. I mean, it's so far received like 18,000 comments. It's reached like 2 million people. The story has really resonated. Mm-hmm. But over the course of the week, it's kind of devolved into more of just this argument over whether or not transgender kids even exist at all. People bringing up God and saying that this child is going to go to hell because of this. And I just wanted to take a moment, just because this has gotten so divisive and this is the uplifting segment, just to reinforce the idea that, one, if you don't have something nice to say, maybe just keep your mouth shut. You don't really have to comment on everything. You especially don't have to comment on a post if it involves a child, and a child from a different family. You don't have to agree with what that family is doing, as long as that family is, you know, doing what is best for them and they're not endangering their child. They're supporting them and they're loving them, which was the crux of the story to begin with. You know, also don't comment. And then just a third thing, just personally, I am Catholic. So a lot of people were roping in religion and the God element here and saying, you know, that these people really, they kept saying that they're going to hell. They're not, this isn't valid. God would be so angry. And I'm just kind of confused where they're getting their religion from, because when I go to church every single Sunday, I'm told that God is the only judge. So I just find it a little.
Oh, it never stops other people, does it? Never stops other people who like
and
this.
I want to be careful what I even say here, because I don't want to judge them. Maybe their religion really is different, and I'm sure that they're, you know, maybe commenting with their best interests.
It's okay. In this space, I don't mind if we're judging people that are spewing hate. And we don't even have to call it divisive, because divisive is what happens when, you know, two people are debating on something. This is not an equal debate by any stretch. You're either a loving, supportive person or you're a hateful troll. And, you know, those folks, we don't tend to make time for, but thanks to the interwebs, they get to make time for themselves. And let's just remind people, you know, who Chef Dave Heide is. We've been covering him since the very beginning here at Up North News. We started with a way that he was feeding essential workers in the early weeks of the pandemic. He was feeding the hungry because so many people lost their jobs early on in the pandemic. He teaches food skills to veterans so that they can find work and don't have to be homeless or low income. Not to mention being a supportive dad. A girl's lemonade stand raised tens of thousands of dollars for Chef Dave because of all the good that he has done, along with being supportive to his daughter. So what have you done? Think about that before you decide to, you know, put some poison into the keyboard. You have the right to do that. But we have the right, too, as well, to say we're going to continue to lift up Chef Dave because folks who type things like that could only wish to be half the person that he is. So thank you again, Christina, for giving us the opportunity to lift up the man, the father, the chef, and his good works.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say on a side note, I used to work in local news here in Madison where Chef Dave lives. He was one of the first people I met when I moved here and I did a story. Back then he just had a dream of opening a pay what you can restaurant. Now that dream has became a reality. And he is someone I can't even tell you the amount of stories that I either interviewed him for, or I would see him just out in the community when I was covering something else. And I'd go up to him because he'd always give us a good sound bite. But many times he would say, "Hey, this event isn't about me. Like, don't get me on camera here." He would just be out volunteering and want zero credit for it. So that's why I just really, really wanted to bring it up here, because the amount of commenters who are saying that he is such a man of privilege if he's able to transform his restaurant for his kid, or, you know, it's so unrelatable. He is the most relatable guy. He is the guy he's the gold standard here. I think every parent, if you met him, you would love him. He just has this enigmatic personality. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And so if you get anything out of this story, think before you write and
get to know the whole story about somebody, the whole measure of their work, even before they became well-known. So I thank you, Christina, for that. Let's move over to something else. This one happens to be in Madison as well. But I can tell you as a former legislator how much I enjoyed concerts on the square, on the Capitol Square there. It's a great summertime tradition in our state's capital city, and it's getting set to resume again this week.
Yes, I wanted to bring this up because this is the very first week for concerts on the square. It starts tomorrow night, Wednesday night, on the steps of the Capitol. And I wanted to bring it up because this is a recurring series for 6 weeks every summer. So, you know, odds are you probably can't drop everything and come here this week, if it wasn't already on your list of things to do, but pencil in a time when you want to make it down to Madison, because it's really just the quintessential summer in Wisconsin experience. You bring a picnic blanket, you can bring a bottle of wine, your favorite beers, a little picnic basket, or you can buy from any of the restaurants around the square. A lot of them have great deals that night, and you can hear the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra play. Every week, they have a different theme. So opening night theme is called Vivo Tiempo Libre, and it features the 3-time Grammy-nominated Afro-Caribbean music group known for its jazz and Latin flair. So Vivo Tiempo Libre is the name of that group. So they'll be accompanying the orchestra, and it'll just be super fun. But throughout the summer, usually I think the following week, the week of the 4th of July, they're going to be playing a kind of like post-4th patriotic celebration. Always 1 week they do some sort of movie celebration. It's just really fun. It's an enjoyable evening out with friends, experiencing live music, and just I'll leave you with two fun facts about it. First, Pat, I want you to guess, how many people do you think attend each performance?
Oh, that's a good question, because I've seen people when they're setting up the chairs and the blankets and everything. So I'll say 2,000.
More than 30,000.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, it's not just on the square. Like, people kind of go down the side streets, sit outside, sit on curbs. It's a beautiful experience. And then just one last number to walk away with, if you're wondering like, why this year, why go? Well, it's its 40th year. So it's really a milestone for concerts on the square. And it's always great to support live music. As a former viola player, just feel like, you know, I need to be a champion for Wisconsin orchestras.
And so now let's take that out statewide, because there are, in communities around Wisconsin, there are band shells and other concert stages that are either used regularly or occasionally. I think of about the one in Eau Claire down along the river. There's one in Irvine Park here in Chippewa. Neillsville has a gazebo where music plays from time to time. If you have a particular favorite community live music venue like that, where you can hear live music outdoors in the summertime, I would love to hear about it. 844-967-2789 or radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Tell us where you like to hear local live music. Now, we're not talking about the big concert venues. We've talked about those before. Those are great. You know, everything from Summerfest to, you know, Country Jam to you name it. But what about the little ones? What do you think people would like to hear about in your hometowns? Because they don't all get 30,000 people in them, but still, it's always great to have live music in your local downtown.
Could not agree more.
Let's go to our third and final topic. We're getting back to food. And apparently this week is National Food Truck Day, which is something that, again, you only used to see in bigger cities. But now, you know, I saw like six of them around the Liney Lodge last weekend, and you see them in other communities. And these food trucks have really caught on, and people can find no shortage of variety in them.
And Wisconsin has a unique connection to food trucks, because in 1936, the original modern food truck first rolled out on the streets here in Wisconsin, the Wienermobile from Oscar Mayer. If you Google food trucks, that's the first modern day food truck. And since then, it's really snowballed. Most communities have them now, no matter how big or small. It's kind of a great way for people who want to own a restaurant to test the waters before they're investing in a property where they have to pay, you know, a monthly lease. Mm-hmm. If their business is on wheels, then they can go to where the crowds are. They can go to these summer festivals. A lot of times in winter, they'll post up near grocery stores or just like popular locations. So many of them are trying to sell year round when they can. But this Friday, June 30th, is National Food Truck Day. So we put together a little list of four unique Wisconsin food trucks to check out. So just give you a little taste. Of course, on this list, there's a truck called the Curd Girl that sells, obviously, cheese curds. This is Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. There's also an awesome truck that sells tamales. You don't find those a lot here, even at Mexican restaurants, ones that are authentically from Mexico, tamales. So this truck, it's called Get Them While They're Hot Tamales, a cute name. And it travels across all of Wisconsin as well as Northern Illinois. You can head to our website for more, like a more complete list of food trucks. But something to know that's great about these, because I know our name is Up North News. So a lot of people, I get the emails every single day, think we only cover up north Wisconsin. We do cover the whole state. And that's the great thing about these food trucks. Because they have wheels, they travel. Many of them hit up the major festivals statewide, especially during the summer. And then also, if you are hosting a wedding, I've been to many weddings recently that hire a food truck. If you're hosting a retirement celebration, a work party, you can book a lot of these food trucks and they'll come to you. And it's actually, you'd be surprised at how affordable they are, Pat.
Yeah. And I mentioned one last week up here that was in Chippewa Falls, and I wanted to give it a plug. I didn't know the name at the time. It's called Holy Donuts, and they're mini donuts, but they come like eight or nine to a pack, and each one is flavored. So you get one traditional one, you get a raspberry lemonade, a Butterfinger bomb, cookies and cream, glaze and sprinkles, and key lime pie mini donuts.
Those sound amazing.
I know. That's just one more sample of food trucks and all the others that you can patronize throughout the summer all across Wisconsin. And you can get these stories and many more from Christina Laurie in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner. A lot of these stories show up in our social media feeds as well. Hey, Christina, thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
Turning just a bit to national news, if you haven't heard it yet, make the effort to go online or someplace where you can listen to former President Donald Trump waving around highly confidential documents, including a potential U.S. battle plans for attacking Iran, and acknowledging to unknown strangers that he can't really declassify them now that he's no longer president, but he's still waving them around anyway and saying that, yeah, these are secret. And he seems to be waffling about whether to show them to somebody who's helping, you know, write a book with Mark Meadows, his former chief of staff. Richard Nixon never made that blatant a confession on the Watergate tapes. And yet there's Donald Trump doing exactly that. Again, it doesn't mean he's going to be convicted. The jury system and the court system, well, they're far from perfect. But much like the impeachments, the evidence is there, it's real, and it's damning. We'll have today's history lesson and a music break up next. You're up north. Richie Cunningham.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
Now that, of course, is Fats Domino. On this day in 1956, Fats Domino recorded Blueberry Hill at Master Recorder Studio in Hollywood. What I did not know until last night putting this together is that that was actually a remake. The song was first made popular in 1940 by Gene Autry. But Domino's version has that famous piano intro, became his biggest hit. It is the definitive version of the song, although, again, Richie Cunningham singing it all the time in Happy Days, whenever he met a pretty girl. That was kind of the definitive version of the 1970s. Born on this day in 1927, Bob Keeshan. You know him as Captain Kangaroo. Born in 1927, passed away in 2004. We'll play his famous intro song a little bit later on this morning. And let's see, we've got another birthday today, 64 years old today for country singer Lori Morgan.
You're not believing a word I say. Oh, if you think I won't go, watch me.
Now, believe it or not, Lori Morgan, her birth name was Loretta Lynn Morgan, born in Nashville in 1959, and I think appropriately decided not to go with Loretta Lynn Morgan.
Yeah, you got a little bit to live up to if you go with that.
Yeah, she still did quite all right for herself, though, and again, turns 64 years old today. Here's an interesting little history tidbit. It was on this day in 1905, during a war between Russia and Japan, that some Russian sailors started a mutiny aboard the Russian battleship Potemkin. It just seems to be a little appropriate that it's tough to keep the Russian military happy when you keep losing. The number one song on this day in 1964, 59 years ago, was from Peter and Gordon. Peter in Peter and Gordon is Peter Asher, who was dating Paul McCartney's sister Jane at the time and was able to get this song that was written
It's the other way around, that Paul McCartney was dating Asher's sister.
Oh, I'm sorry. McCartney was dating Asher's sister. Did I say that wrong? Oh, I said Asher was dating McCartney's sister. My apologies. Yes. I swear I had coffee this morning. Just clearly not enough. On this day in 1970, there was this rock group out there known as Smile and needed to shake things up. So they changed their name to Queen and performed for the first time under that name on this day in 1970. The number one song this day in 1987 was from Whitney Houston. This is the title track to I Want to Dance with Somebody, the fourth number one single to come off. You talk about people who were new on the scene and shot out of a cannon. That would have been Whitney Houston with that album, again, this day in 1987. And on this day in 2000, Nelly released his debut album, Country Grammar. The hit Ride With Me, one of the few rap albums to go diamond, selling over 10 million copies here in the U.S. And there's your history lesson and music break for this Tuesday. Aaron, were you able to, we were talking about the audio of Donald Trump, and we've got a little time here, so maybe we should just go ahead and play that now again to set it up. This is the new audio that we already know that the special counsel's office had. We learned that a few days back, but now CNN managed to get a copy of the audio. It was somehow leaked to them. And so this is the first time we get to hear Donald Trump talking to some people, I think at Bedminster, his golf course club in New Jersey, and talking about all these papers he has. He thinks that these papers exonerate him because people were saying he wanted to start a war with Iran. And he's trying to make the point that, oh, no, no, it was these generals like Milley and others. They're the ones who had these plans to go to war with Iran. Look at them. Look at here are the plans to go to war. Well, maybe I shouldn't show these to you. That's the short version. Here's the actual audio of it.
These are bad, sick people.
That was your coup, you know, against you.
Well, it started right at the beginning.
Like when Millie's talking about, oh, you were going to try to do a coup. No, they were trying to do that before you even were sworn in.
That's right.
Trying to overthrow your election.
Well, with Millie, let me see that. I'll show you an example. He said that I wanted to attack Iran. Isn't it amazing? I have a big pile of papers. This thing just came up. Look. This was him.
He's literally shuffling a pile of classified documents.
Presented me this. This is off the record, but they presented me this. This was him. This was the Defense Department and him. Wow. We looked at some. This was him. This wasn't done by me. This was him. Yeah. All sorts of stuff. It's pages long. Look. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I just found, isn't that amazing? This totally wins my case, you know.
Mm-hmm. No.
Except it is like highly confidential, secret. This is secret information. But look at this. You attack, and
Hillary would print that out all the time, you know.
She'd send it to Anthony Weiner, the pervert. By the way, isn't that incredible, though?
Yeah.
I was just saying, because we were talking about it. And, you know, he said he wanted to attack Iran and what? These are the papers.
Did.
Oh, this was done by the military, given to me. I think we can probably, right?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to figure out
See, as president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't, you know, but this is
Now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
No, okay. I mean, there you go. Right then and there. That's the confession, because at first he was like, oh, I can declassify anything, even when I'm not president. Then he showed that he does understand he cannot declassify things once he's no longer president. And yet, Aaron, no respect for the actual information. He knew what he was holding on to. And to be that amazingly, ridiculous, stupidly careless with it, it doesn't surprise you coming from him, but from any other person, that would blow you away.
But for him, it's right on brand. It is. I expected nothing, and I was still disappointed.
You know, and to think, well, if I just make some jokes about Hillary Clinton, the crowd will go, yeah, and make, you know, talk about Anthony Weiner and all of that. It doesn't take away from what we have at the core, and that is somebody waving around stuff he shouldn't have had. The military gave this to me. No, you took it. They showed it to you and you took it. It's just so wrong. Just wrong. So coming up in our next hour, we will get into June Dairy Month and we'll talk a bit about some of the people behind the scenes who really keep the dairy industry afloat in Wisconsin. That and so much more next. You're up north.